This is the Steve Gruber Show. Sitting in today for Steve is Scott Bertram.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve, as the big guy said, up here at Hillsdale College. Down here at Hillsdale College, I suppose, for most of you. Rainy day to start this Easter weekend in Hillsdale, where I also am general manager of the student radio station and a lecturer in journalism. Great to be here. We had Mitch McConnell here on Monday last week. Andrew Klavan has been on campus for a couple of weeks from the Daily Wire. And then graduation just around the corner and commencement just around the corner. We are getting to the end of the spring term. It's coming very quickly. All sorts of projects and papers due. So for the students, it's a little high-pressure time. For the professors like me, well, just sit back and wait for them to submit their materials and then give them all, you know, the appropriate grades. All right, I've been sitting on this. I knew I was going to guest host. And so, are plastic bag bans garbage? Question answered in this piece. Actually, it's a piece from NPR, of all places, to talk about this. But I've been on this, been following plastic bag bans and plastic bag taxes for quite a long time. Here's what this is. University of Sydney economist Rebecca Taylor started studying bag regulations. It seemed as though every time she moved to a new job, bag restrictions were implemented shortly thereafter, and she wanted to see what the consequences were, real consequences. More than 240 cities and counties have passed laws that ban or tax bags since 2007. 139 California cities and counties implemented the policy themselves, then California essentially banned them in 2016. So Taylor and her colleagues compared bag use in cities with bans to those without them before the statewide ban. For 6 months, they went to grocery stores, tallied the types of bags people carried out, and then looked at sales data, too. Here's what she found. People in cities with the bans used fewer plastic bags, led to about 40 million fewer pounds of plastic trash per year. So you say, hooray! But, there's a but. People who used to reuse their shopping bags for other purposes, like picking up dog doo-doo or lining trash bins, still needed bags. Taylor said, quote, "What I found was that sales of garbage bags actually skyrocketed after plastic grocery bags were banned, especially the case for small 4-gallon bags, which saw a 120% increase in sales after the bans went into effect." 120% increase. Now, trash bags are thicker. They use more plastic than typical shopping bags. So about 30% of the plastic that was eliminated by the ban comes back in the form of thicker garbage bags. On top of that, cities that banned plastic bags also saw a surge in the use of paper bags, of course. About 80 million pounds of extra paper trash per year. A number of studies have found, as you might know, paper bags are actually worse for the environment. They require cutting down trees, processing them, lots of water, chemicals, heavy machinery. Paper is biodegradable, but the huge increase of paper, together with the uptick in plastic trash bags, means that banning plastic shopping bags increases greenhouse gas emissions. So what's your goal? Is your goal to keep plastic bags off the road because you don't like the way they look in trees or in gutters? Well, then a plastic bag ban probably works. If your goal is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and be better for the environment, then it's a total failure. What about tote bags? What about reusable cloth bags? Well, they can be even worse. A 2011 study by the UK government found a person would have to reuse a cotton tote bag 131 times before it was better for climate change that a plastic grocery bag was used once. The Danish government recently did a study that took into account environmental impacts beyond simply greenhouse gas emissions. It looked at water use, damage to ecosystems, air pollution. Those factors make cloth bag even worse. Danish government estimates you would have to use an organic cloth bag, cotton bag, 20,000 times more than a plastic grocery bag to make it better for the environment. 20,000 times. Now, Taylor's research did show that a plastic bag fee might work better. The fee means that people still get their bags, right? It doesn't ban them. You can use the plastic, 5-cent fee or 10-cent fee. It depends on where you are, what that fee might be. The best policy, according to Taylor, imposes a fee on both paper and plastic bags and encourages reuse. That is the findings from the plastic ban study by the researcher from the University of Sydney. So keep that in mind the next time these things start bubbling up, I suppose, on plastic bag bans. You can find a story at NPR. The research from the University of Sydney, the economist is Rebecca Taylor. Very quickly here, because we're running up against the top of the hour, wanted to mention last time I was in was right around the Jesse Smollett case. We spent a lot of time talking about that, and the Cook County State's Attorney dropped all charges. News today, two deputies of Kim Fox, the Cook County State's Attorney in Chicago, including the ethics officer who wrote a memo announcing Fox had recused herself from the Jesse Smollett prosecution, will both resign. April Perry, appointed 2 years ago as first chief ethics officer, and Mark Rotert, a veteran prosecutor, will leave the staff on May 3rd. Perry submitted a resignation on Wednesday. She says she's got a new job lined up. We don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that she said that Fox recused herself when clearly she did not, according to all sorts of email and texts that we've seen released since then. But that, you know, if you're not paying as close attention, that is not dying down in Chicago. The furor over Kim Fox dropping those charges against Jesse Smollett, that continues and probably will at least until there are better answers as to why it happened, why charges were dropped, or until the next election, which is coming up shortly as well. Scott Bertram in for Steve. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.